This discussion is brought to you in partnership with Government Communication, GCIS. Let's grow South Africa together.
SMMEs for a preferential rate to countries who are our neighbouring countries in the Southern African Customs Union, Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia and Eswatini. But also beyond the Southern African Customs Union, we have which includes 14 countries in Southern Africa. But beyond that, we have the African continental market that opens up the opportunities to export to the rest of Africa, so 55 countries. And beyond Africa, we also have market access opportunities in the European Union, so the 27 European Union countries, but also the UK, the countries that are also in the rest of Europe, such as Switzerland, Norway, but also through to the US market through the African Growth Opportunity Act. So the trade and opening up market access opportunities about ensuring that we are able to boost industrialization in South Africa to be able to remain competitive in international markets.
All right, and before we resume with that, we do have Dr. Mieza on the line, who is from Radio Kwezi. Dr. Mieza, good evening to you.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
All right, what questions do you have for Ms. Susan Mangole as well as Ambassador tonight?
My question is based on the... Okay, let me first question first. My question will be short. It is about the rural areas. Since we are in deep rural areas, like here at Nsinga, I'm listening from Equiz FM. What are the better options? Maybe the people from the rural areas that can be the department can help on it. And also, since we are struggling for the issue of water in rural areas, how can we, as the government, can assist the local community on that one? Thank you.
Thanks. Through the National Empowerment Fund, we have the Rural Township and Community Development that is aimed at facilitating community involvement in projects in accordance with all the legislation. So what it means is that, and I think I'm going to give an example of the funds that we've been running throughout. So the Rural Enterprise, the Rural and Township Fund will fund any business that operate in the rural area. So that is a blended finance. So meaning that obviously if you've got a bakery in the rural area, we're able to then support you with machinery and equipment as well as the working capital. The key one now that we are also rolling out is the Spaza Shop Fund. With the Spaza Shop Fund, we're also looking at prioritizing rural area. That way we are able to then, because in most of the rural areas you've got some of the farmers, then you are able to assist them to package those crops to sell within their community. That's the first one. But then for the Spaza Shop, if you are a Spaza Shop owner, we're able to then assist you with the refurbishment as well as the refrigeration. So the fund is run under the National Empowerment Fund. However, it's run as a blended facility, as a grant, both as a grant as well as a loan. So it's the facility that we're offering. In terms of infrastructure, through the critical infrastructure program, we do support projects in the rural area. Like, for example, let me say, however, the projects that we are supporting is to unlock economic activity. Let's say there's an investor that is locating there to actually build a shopping center or a mall. So where we come in will be to facilitate the infrastructure in terms of the roads and the water and the electricity. However, as we support that, we also include that bulk infrastructure be shared with the community. So it means if we are now like supporting a sort of a power station, that power station will have to then benefit the community as well. So hence we then come in with the critical infrastructure where if there is sort of an investor. So investor in terms of a shopping center, investor in terms of a mine, or an investor in terms of an agro-processing project where they are packaging the, or they are packaging the, or selling the crops.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much for that, Acting DDG, as well as Dr. Mieza, for your call. And we do also have Ayanda, who is from Vryheid in KZN. And Ayanda is listening from Abakulusi 90.7 FM. And Ayanda would like to know, how possible is it to find small businesses grabbing opportunities that are found in the digital trade space?
It is very possible, and the plan, of course, we understand the issue of digital divide, where, for example, you find that especially for people who are in rural areas, it's very difficult to either access the network or even costly for them to be connected to digital solutions. However, there is work that is being done, and not only by the DTIC, but also other government departments, to ensure that we are able to open up and ensure that the network is accessible to allow for people in rural communities to access digital solutions. The important part around the digital solutions is that they allow especially producers in rural areas to be able to access international markets without necessarily having to incur the cost of getting physically to especially the economic centers. We also have, for example, in the DTIC, the Exporter Development Program that gives exposure to people in rural areas, exposure to how they can access markets, both in terms of requirements that they need to meet to be able to access the markets, but also to look at innovative solutions such as digital solutions to access the market. So actually the digitalization is assisting to bridge the costs associated with accessing formal markets.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Kolelwa. And we do also have a voice note by Kuabas, who is from Waterberg Stereo 104.9 FM. Kuabas, let's hear
you. We have a question. Can an Article 21 company also apply for a loan? Can you please find out for us?
All right. Can an Article 21 company also apply for a loan? That is what Kuabas would like to know.
Just maybe for clarity, Article 21, is it the non-profit or is it a full company?
All right. Now, I don't know if Kuabas can, clarify that.
So maybe just to come in, because obviously the funding that we offer have to be registered as a company, as a cooperative, see? However, we are excluding non-profit organization, but then a company that is registered under the Companies Act and registered with CIPC can actually get funding. I think on that one, I'll have to just check which one is Article 21. Yes. So then for the cooperatives they do qualify for funding with us across various incentives.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And of course, you can still interact with us on our WhatsApp line 065-935-5488. And how then can... Black industrialist, this term, what does it take then? What is required for one to be a black industrialist?
Okay, for a black industrialist, we're looking at the company that is majority owned by and controlled by a black person. So it's 51 plus. So meaning that you should be owning that and operationally involved. So to be able to qualify for the black industrialist scheme, you have to be operating within the manufacturing sector. So then if you are manufacturing and you are 51 owned, you do qualify for black industrialist and you do qualify to be a black industrialist.
Thank you very much for that. Now, we also hear that there is industrial development agencies, you know, the IDC, as well as National Empowerment Fund, the NEF, as well as the DTIC, which you guys are representing this evening. And we want to know then, what is the difference and what does each entity offer?
Between the three entities, we call ourselves the Industrial Financing Group. Within the DTIC, we offer the grants. the grants are not repayable. Then with the IDC and NEF, they offer the loans. So the loans are concessionary. In most cases, we are actually blending our support. So meaning that if you're looking for a manufacturing support program, you can have IDC to get a loan. Facilities are actually blended. Similarly with the National Empowerment Fund. So that they're administering as a loan, that will be priced at about 2.5 or 2% rate. That is also to make sure that accessibility and affordability, but also to de-risk a lot of the investment by SMMEs and also within the black industry. So for a black cause, it's a cost DC and the National Empowerment Fund. So meaning that DTIC will come with a grant, then the IDC will come with a loan. With the loan, the investor will have to repay. With a grant, that's the portion that is not repayable.
Oh, thank you so much for the clarity. And we also do then have Gustav, who is with us from Radio NFM. Gustav wants to know then, how do businesses qualify? Is there some criteria of sort for low-interest businesses, for low-interest business loans or SBA loans?
Let me start by saying businesses across various sectors. I spoke about the black industrialists, which mainly support black industrialists that are in manufacturing. I spoke about the manufacturing support program. The manufacturing support program is open for all the manufacturers in South Africa.
Yes.
So let's say now you're looking for 10 million to buy your machinery. You will then qualify for up to 30% of the grant. Then you can apply with the IDC or the NEF loan, which will then be priced at 2%. So then that way, then you are able to then blend the two facilities while you have both the loan and the grant. So the criteria of how you qualify, they are mainly in the website of both the IDC. However, we are currently rolling out the website. They will be able to see various support in terms of grants, loan, and then and by IDC and NEF. Then wherever you click, then it takes you to the facility. So that way you're able to say, if now I'm a manufacturer, I need the following. So with the IDC, this is what I'm going to get. With the DTIC, this is what I'm going to get. Then you're able to then put in your application.
Thank you very much for that, Ms. Susan. And what are the requirements, you know, and processes also to just get assistance from business funding institutions of government?
The key requirements, like I said, that you have to apply before you're buying your machinery and equipment. Let's say you want to set up a plant of processing your crops. So therefore, it means you have to then put in an application under the manufacturing support program, state how much you require, as well as state in terms of the cost of those machines, then state who your market will be. So that will have to be supported by quotation. Well, once we get your application, we do run a due diligence. We have to make sure that the company exits your business, also to understand, so that then when we get to the next level, we don't present it to the committee without understanding the business. So part of gathering that information will then allow the team to get the application adjudicated. Once adjudicated, then we should be able to communicate the results. If they've given us all the documents and they are able to then allow us the availability to come and do a due diligence, we are looking at about plus minus 60 days to complete the process of going to adjudication. However, it will depend per scheme, because some of the schemes has got high volume, whereas some of the ones do not have high volume.
All right, thank you so much for that. Now, as we mentioned, that there are entities like the NEF, the IDC, as well as the DTIC. If then a person has then applied and qualified at one government institution and then also apply elsewhere at one of the other institutions, does that work? Will they get approved at maybe?
The reason we do due diligence is to make sure that we don't fund the same asset. as the three. So let's say you want one machine. That machine cost 30 million. So you can apply for IDC to get your 10 million loan. You can apply with NEF and then get 10 million. And then you can also apply for a grant. So what we're not going to see is that you apply then for Department of Agriculture's incentives. So therefore, that will actually be double dipping. But where it's a loan and a grant, it's not double dipping. What we are actually reimbursing. In some cases, you find that some of the investors are funded by both a bank and a DFI. Then that's when the grant comes in. So we do those verification to make sure that there is no double dipping.
Thank you so much, Ms. Susan. We've got Uvezu Plungu from KZN. Good evening to you, Uvezu Plungu. How are you tonight?
I'm good, and you know, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. And what do you have for us tonight?
First of all, Londo, and your lovely guest there at the studio. First of all, I would like to appreciate the initiatives of the department to support the local businesses. Then my question is, if it happens that you apply for the funding, or the grant, and you get it, do you then get the training as to how maybe to start that particular business that you have applied for, or do they pass your business plan that your business is going to work, or do they take you and give you proper planning, or rather give you proper training
to the financial and non-financial support, right? All right, and what is your response then to that?
We, through the DFIs and also the DTIC, we do run capacity building workshops across the provinces to take the companies through to say, these are some of the things that we are offering in these sectors. Then we also work in partnership with some of the sector association in terms of training the businesses. So post getting approval, there's a post-investment support that is offered. In some of the incentives, you then need to indicate if you require business development. Business development is specifically for that business that you have actually been approved for, especially if it then includes that you need to also have some of the technology that you need to put. So obviously that technology will come with a sort of a training that you may require. And we also work with various sitas where we actually able to then ask for the training of some of the SMMEs. But the key one is the non-financial support that is offered post-investment. Yes. So that way then we're able to then assist various companies to say, this is how you run certain things. Also, there are also some of the institutions of government like SIDA, and some of the DFIs within the provinces, they run those workshops continuously. Tolela spoke about the export development program as well. So we roll out various training programs across the provinces. Then for the individual ones, that's where then the company need to then say, okay, for my post-investment, these are the activities that I will then require as part of business development.
We do offer capacity building in terms of understanding. So we go to various provinces and we work with municipalities as well as provincial agencies to ensure that our MSMEs are aware of where they can export their product to, and for them to be able to access that market, what local content requirements they must meet, and three, what other requirements they need to meet to be able to export to various markets across the globe.
Thank you very much. We do have Umatlo from Radio Turf in Limpopo. Good afternoon, good evening rather, Ms. Susan Mangole. I'd like to know, what are the key sector development strategies that are put in place, and what are critical mandatory requirements that are then considered for funding applications to be successful?
The the key sectors, we actually offer funding within the critical productive sectors of the economies across most of them, which is your manufacturing, services, and then we also have the infrastructure development. One of the critical things is job creation, transformation, and also localization. So those are the key mandatory things that if we give you support, we want you to create and sustain jobs. We also need to make sure that you localize, you actually make sure that you process or manufacture goods that are in South Africa. Then you are also transformed. So those are the key things. The reason we are doing this is that obviously we're implementing various master plans that have been developed by the department and other departments. Through those master plan, we aim to actually create an inclusive growth for the country, but also to make sure that localization and we also being able to actually participate in various export markets that are being created for South African businesses.
Thank you for that. And Cliff from KSFM in Parys once again is asking, is there support if there is a drought, for example, or is this where insurance then comes in?
In terms of the farmers, obviously, if there is a drought, that will be for primary farming. We actually don't support primary. We only support it through the IDC. Where we come in is where you actually process your crop. That's your crops. That's through the grant. But then for the farmers, obviously, they will have to reach out to the Department of Agriculture Land Reform. But then the IDC, they're also administering the Agri Fund, Agri Industrial Fund, or in partnership with the Department of Agriculture that farmers can access. So in case of the drought, obviously, it will be either through the Department of Agriculture or through some of the funds that would have been set up by the department as emergency for farmers.
Thank you. From Mpo, who is with us with Botlokwa FM. So the first question, and we'll be breaking them down question by question so I don't bombard them, and Ambassador Kolelwa. So the first question is, does the DC...
In terms of trade, yes, we do. So, as I said, we work with the municipalities and we work with provincial agencies to provide capacity building and exposure in terms of what opportunities exist in terms of accessing global markets. So that is done. And then also we do provide capacity. Assist in terms of giving exposure by attending exhibitions.
Yes.
And to assist them to understand how to package their products so that they have an international appeal. So all of that is programs that we provide.
All right. And the second question being, as far as the focus areas are concerned, what specific businesses are prioritized?
We support either new or when you expand. So obviously, if you are a new business, you are able to apply for funding, for support. And also, if you are expanding, whether you are in the rural and township area, you are able to actually apply for that. So training, when we go to rural areas, we go together with the company registration. We take the whole group of the DTIC, then we're gonna train you how to register your company, how to access funding, and then how to also participate in various export markets.
All right, thank you. And lastly, can community radios or newspapers also apply for content, equipment, or transmission tariffs as far as funding is concerned?
In terms of tariffs, depends on which tariffs listener is talking about. If, for example, they want to import a specific equipment and we currently have a tariff that makes it expensive for them to import that specialized equipment, especially if it is not produced. We encourage, of course, that whoever wants equipment, they source from South Africa, because that is how we create jobs and also grow the economy. However, if for some reason this is equipment that must be imported from other countries and there is a tariff, they can apply for a duty drawback or rebate, which will make it very easy for them to access that equipment at cost. So in terms of tariffs, there is a way of addressing the tariff barrier if the tariff is an issue.
That's absolutely informative, Ambassador Kolelwa. Thank you so much once again for that. And we do have a voice note.
Hi, my name is Moses Khumalo from Eshowe, Embongolwane, esifundeni saseSoyaya. Ngokuhlala phansi ngila eSavanna Park. Ngifuna phansi ungisiza la. I believe ukuthi ningangisiza. So anyway, nga register but inkampani iPTY. So ngifuna phansi ukulokhuzana. Ngifuna but ukustarta back nge ngenza i-office lami laphana e-320 ngifuna ukwenza i-printing. Manje bangitshela ukuthi kufanele ngibe ne-database kamasipala. Ikuphi engingakwenza ukuze ngikwazi customer ngiwathole support but ukuvaroli nama-t-shirt?
All right.
So for the caller, I think what they can do, because I understand it's a printing company, then also they also need to market their product. They can approach the National Empowerment Fund. So because they're in the rural area, they'll be able to be assisted to say, what are the markets? Kolelwa has mentioned that we do have some of the exhibition where we invite businesses to say, come and participate, come and showcase. So when we do workshops in most of the areas, we do partner with SMMEs to say, come and showcase your product. So the caller can approach the National Empowerment Fund to be able to get funding for this, how to then expand their customer base.
Thank you very much, ladies. It's been an absolutely informative chat, a very fruitful one, and I personally have learned a lot as well. And it's been absolutely a pleasure having you in studio.
Thank you very
Thank you so much.
And there you have it. Definitely valuable and useful information to empower our lives. Now, for more information on the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, you can visit their website on www.thedtic.gov.za. You can also follow them on their Facebook page. That is the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, South Africa on X. It is at the DTIC, the DTIC underscore, and on YouTube, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And of course, a special thanks to as acting DD as well as our technical team. Khomotso KG Ranoto is with us, as well as Lerato Gift Moswane. Not forgetting Stembile Mazaleni and Mpo Biter. Till next time, I am Lerato Maila, and this was yet another proud production brought to you by the GCIS.
This discussion was brought to you in partnership with Government Communication, GCIS. Let's grow South Africa together.